Good morning, church. Buenos dias, iglesia. Well, we come now to the fourth and final Sunday of January, and like every year, I try to begin the year with a theme, and this year's theme has been GROW, G-R-O-W, and giving, repenting, obeying, and working. And so today, I'd like to conclude this series, but hopefully we will not conclude this mindset in 2020 talking about working and what it means to work for the Lord. There is perhaps not a better example of that than happened yesterday at the Hope Cafe. I want to give a report of that event. We worked with the city team in San Jose, and about 38, 39 of us showed up to feed the homeless there. And you know, my prayer was really this: Lord, let us be safe. You know, that's all I pray. Let us get there and get back safe and sound. That was my little silly prayer for the whole situation, not being aware of the better things that took place. All I care about was my own little safety. But wow, the things that happened yesterday. And I was happy to look at the people of Christ and the people of our church. And what I hope would happen did happen, and that I saw people in our church treat the homeless with a dignity. And it's a dignity that comes along with being made in God's image. Every single person is made in the image of God, and that should allow a default level of treatment and respect. And I saw that yesterday, first of all. It was wonderful. And the giving, the people are talking to one another. I will say one sad thing that took place is that we could not eat the food ourselves. That food was looking good. Was it not? In fact, Felicia here? Yeah, Felicia said, I show enough thought that we were going to have be fed as well. I show enough thought, she said. I had to add it in there. But I had to walk away. I was laughing too hard. But no, we left hungry, but we left well worked. But here's what I heard that really made it make sense to me and what really sent it home. Debbie Clark was talking to a minister's wife who was there. There was another church there that was giving out scarves, I believe. And they go there on a regular basis. And they said, but your group is a bit different. He said, we've come here before, but how your group was talking to people, the smiles on their faces, as they spoke to the homeless, as they interacted with them, and this is what she said and gave me chills, almost made her cry. She said, I see God in your group. I see God with your people. And when I hear that, I recognize I was praying that we'd be safe. When you see what happened here, we see that people saw God. And that for me is the main point of Christianity. They say, you will know that we are Christians by our love, the song says. That is the reality, that we're not going to prove Christ through science. We're not going to prove Christ really even only with the Bible. We're going to prove it in conjunction with the Bible by acting what the Bible says, doing what the Bible says. If you do what the Bible says, you're going to see God. And let me tell you right now, when you see God like this, you're going to say, God is beautiful. God is so beautiful. You're going to fall in love with God when you see God. And I will come back to this in my sermon, but when you see God at work, you're going to see God being so beautiful, you will fall in love with God. But that comes from working and doing what God says, see. It's so wonderful to see God. This is a song, Have You Seen Jesus Christ My Lord? That song, Have You Seen Jesus My Lord? And when you read the lyrics of that song, it's talking about when you're doing things for God, you're going to see Jesus. And wow, apparently. I mean, I know God is with us. I do know that. But people who are outside of our group said, we see God with you. Praise the Lord. Mission complete. That's all I want to do. And that's why, honestly, I've come to the point now where my Christianity is not so much the part that I enjoy most about Christianity now is seeing God now. I love seeing God work. Every single day, I love seeing Him work. And I love Him more and more as a result. And so that will be part of my sermon today, the fourth part of our series, Working. A bit of housekeeping as well, because a lot of things are happening this year. Small groups are starting this year in 2 weeks. Due to consideration of all hosts and teachers' schedules and wanting to start small groups at the same time, our last Sunday night Bible study will be February 2nd, okay? Not tonight, February 2nd, all right? because we want to begin small groups February 9th. So there'll be one more Sunday night. That is Super Bowl Sunday, so there may be a skeleton crew that night. But I'll be there, okay? I'll be there. So, and with anybody else who wants to have one final Bible study Sunday night, it's February 2nd, 2020. But small groups, therefore, begin the week of February 9th for the quarter of February, March, and April, which will give everybody 2 weeks at least to plan and schedule to attend. Now, traditionally, we've done small groups in the past, never for a whole year straight, as we want to do this year. We've done it in segments of 3 months or 4 months, and usually we had two teachers per small group. I love that idea. I love the whole Luke 10:1 idea. Go out in twos and meet people and talk to people. And so, perhaps if there is somebody who wants to assist with these groups, there's four groups that can use one more teacher. Okay, so if you're learning how to teach, or a great teacher, if you want to teach with small groups this year, let us know. I think all of us, I think Glenn, Byron, Mike, and I know I can speak for myself. I would love to have someone to teach my small group with. So I don't care what level of teacher you're at. I don't care if you never taught before. Okay, I would love to teach with you. And so that's one of the parts of small groups that are wonderful is teaching leadership, to learn how to teach in an environment which is smaller and not on a pulpit as I am here right now. So I spoke to all the teachers. They wouldn't mind having to teach with somebody else. So if you want to learn how to teach, or if you're a great teacher, just want to experience small group, talk to one of us. Talk to Glenn or talk to Byron, Mike, or myself as your schedule allows. I love the idea of teaching with somebody. So again, all lessons are provided. Every lesson through every single 52 lessons are going to be provided. It's all written out. It's all done to take as much or as little as you want as teachers, as long as you remain on the theme of grow. That's going to be our theme for this year. I also want to ask those who attend small groups, just to be sensitive about this, because we want to keep these small groups small, okay? I love seeing big groups of people studying the Bible, but we want to keep them small. So if you are attending a small group and you see that there are more than 12 or 15 people, we want to keep it between 12 and 15 people. If you see there are more than that, think about going to a different one if you can. Think about jumping on another one and knowing different people. I know there are cliques. I know there are people who love being with other people, but if you wouldn't mind trying to spread yourself out to have more small groups that remain that number, that would be wonderful. So please consider doing this. We make small groups wonderful. We do this ourselves. Let's make it great by making these groups small, keeping us small. Let me go through again the benefits of small groups. I think that I have to remind us of what's taking place here, why there's a power in small groups. Small groups is literally going out into the streets to talk about the Word of God. Okay? That's a very powerful idea. Okay, there is also power at church, amen, but there's also a power in going out of church and going out in the streets, meeting in people's homes. There's a power in that to tapping into. That was the first church power, in fact. There are more discussions and more openness among participants in small groups. It's just that simple. People will talk more. People will talk more about themselves. There's more things going on in the Christian process in small groups. There is the blessing and opportunity of hospitality. If you're hosting a small group, let me tell you right now, your blessings are on the way. Okay, it's just that simple. If you choose to take time out of your life and host a Bible study at your house, I promise you there are blessings that will come to that household. So hospitality is an art that we should not forget as Christians. It also allows for that through small groups. There are more teachers, and more teachers learn to teach better, not just me teaching. I can't be the only teacher for a church to grow. It can't happen that way. We have to have multiple people who are growing as teachers to grow into leadership positions, deacons, elders, or just someone who can teach. We need more teachers. That also happens during small group. Again, leadership training. If you can counsel, lead, direct a small group, that contributes to your possibility of leading, directing people to the body of Christ. It's a better outreach platform by far. It's just a natural fact that people who are not in the church are more willing to meet in a home than suddenly go to church. It's just that simple. It's proven. It's just a fact. There are more people who will meet regularly in small groups than just a regular Bible study. That's also a fact. More people will be involved with small groups than any single Bible study in our church. It's that true. It's that simple. We have more people in the Word of God. And again, we are copying what Christ did. And what Christ did is that he went out and spoke to people in the community. That's all he does. And we should try our best to copy Christ as much as possible. So these are the benefits of small groups. There are no downsides to it. There are no downsides, as has been proven every year that we've done this. 3 or 4 times in my 10 years here, we've done this, and they've been wonderful times. But this is the first year we're trying to do it all year round. If you don't intend to attend, please pray that nevertheless there are blessings to take place in these small groups. So there's that pitch. But all these things are linked to the goal for us to grow. There's growth in these things. To grow in every godly way. Not just numerically, but in terms of maturity, in terms of understanding, in terms of love, in terms of humility, hospitality. This is what the whole idea of grow is about for 2020. Again, the word grow has 4 letters. It's an acronym. There are 4 weeks in January. I'd like to have a new year theme, and in this case, a new decade theme. So for G, I spoke about giving the very first week of January. For R, Glenn spoke about repenting. For O, last week, we talked about obeying. And for W, this week, I want to talk about working. Working. This is when the, if you will, idealistic rubber meets the literal road of our Christianity. This is when, okay, we talk about these things. We talk about ideals. But now, are we going to apply them? Let's see how that rubber meets the road. Let's see how those tires hold up. Let's see how our Christian movement actually moves now. We have to work. We got to do something about this. This is the real deal. For something to work, it can't just work one time either. It must work consistently for it to be called working. If something only works occasionally or works one time, it's called broken. It's not called working. So we must be as a church that whatever we do, we keep on doing in Christ's name. I would say the most important attribute to working is to work consistently. Whatever we do as a church, let's keep doing it over and over and over again. That's how we become and stay a working church. So the first three letters here, giving, repenting, and obeying, we can now qualify them in some senses with the term, the verb working, if you will. Is our giving working? Does our giving work? Or do we only give one time or inconsistently? I would tell you that if we're only giving one time or inconsistently, our giving is broken. Our repenting, is our repenting a working repentance? Because if our repenting only happens one time or occasionally, I would say our repentance is broken. And our obedience, do we only obey every now and then? Do we only obey some verses in the Bible, not all of them? Well, then I would say our obedience is broken. It's not a working obedience. All these terms need to be working for it to happen, and to happen in 2020. Working is the heavy lifting part of ministry. You may have heard, well, he does the heavy lifting. Well, we all have to contribute to the heavy lifting. This is the real Christian work. And this is why I love Galatians 6:2. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. I love this verse because there are so many things that contribute to Christianity. There are so many things that contribute to the Word of God. And yet Paul will say that this, if you do this, you are obeying the entire law of Christ. It's like, wow, why is Paul giving so much to this? He's going to say heavy lifting is what is a whole part of Christ. Galatians 6:2, share each other's burdens. And in this way, you obey the whole law of Christ. And what does that mean? I did a whole sermon about this. I'll go briefly at the points here. Because when you talk about the action of Christianity, what it means to be a Christian, this is the toughest part right here. Even giving, you're giving away from yourself. It's kind of away from you. The giving is very important, but you're still giving and you're done with the process, if you will. Okay? Repenting in the same way, it's important, but you're still kind of, you're moving away from the process. You're moving away from an issue. Saying hello to each other on Sunday morning. I say hello to you, I walk away from you still. But this right here is a consistent, close, one-to-one, constant work. This is real Christianity. I'm so happy that Christ, the reason why this is fulfilling the law of Christ, this is what Christ did for us. all of what Christ said, all of what he spoke about, all of what he preached about, if he did not bear our sins on the cross, would be just good words. That's all it would be. So if we are mimicking Christ in this way, bearing each other's weaknesses, difficulties, recoveries, the sins, if we're helping along with that process, we're mimicking the very reason why Christianity exists. Share each other's burdens, and in this way you obey the law of Christ. It all makes sense if we do this, but that requires work. That's heavy lifting. It's tough. This is the real deal. Are we as a church willing to do this part? Is our church working in both senses? Do we work or are we broken? Do we function here? Are we a real church of Christ? The theme verse for working is John 4, 23-38. John 4, 23-38. This is Jesus Christ at work. You're going to see Christ at work. And I'm convinced that we as a church are supposed to be copying what Christ did. If we're called the body of Christ, then we, in Christ, we copy in our physical form what Christ did in his physical form. What did he do? That's what we should do if we're called the body of Christ. And so we're going to read verses here that I pray that we are doing and doing consistently. This is the kind of work the church should be doing. John 4, let's begin. John 4, 23-26. John 4, 23-26. So what is Christ doing here? He's going to be clarifying God, glorifying and clarifying the same idea, who God is. In John 4, 23, but the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now, he says, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in that way. This morning we're talking about how you can be passionate about God and truthful at the same time. Okay? Oftentimes we have one or the other. You can do both. In fact, Christ said that is a symbol, that is the earmark of a true worshiper, somebody who combines that passion, that spirit, and good, truthful word of God. Both of these things combined lead to the true worshipers, he says. It's happening right now, he says. It's taking place. This is what we should be doing and telling people about as well, proving it by our actions. He says, for God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. They are not mutually exclusive. They can go together. They can work together. In fact, they have to work together to be a true church. That's what we should be acting like. Christ is acting that way, talking about that way. And so the woman says, when we meet somebody who is not a Christian, this woman says, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Christ told her, I am the Messiah. I love that. He's here. See, and we should also be declaring and showing and manifesting who Christ is. That's our job. I don't care whatever else we do, if we're not saying verse 26 over and over again and showing that we are the church, then what are we doing? And yesterday, I'm so happy, yesterday as we fed people, it wasn't just about eating for them. People asked, let me ask about your church. What do you stand for? Where are you coming from? Okay, I was taking a sat outside for like 15 minutes. Outside in the darkness was one talking about, tell me about your church. Okay, and if we're not explaining verse 26, we're not working. Our church isn't working. Verse 26 should be the goal of what we're talking about. This is Christ. This is Christianity. This is what we do. So, the reality of a good Christian work is that if it's being done properly, more people want to hear more about it. And we take care of that as well. We take care of those issues. The work increases. The sweat part, the rubber meets the road begins now. This is what Christ does. Look at verse 27-30. This is when Christ gets more work as a result of doing the right work. Verse 27-30, it says, just then his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her or why are you talking to her? The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone. This is what's going to happen as a church. The word of God would not come back void. Jesus Christ said, if you lift him up, as is our job, he would draw all men unto him. So if we are doing that, we're going to get more work. So Christ is getting more work here. All right. The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. All right, so again, if we're showing God, God is beautiful. Christ is beautiful. People are going to want to hear more and more about it. And we're going to have more work. And this is what we do as a Christian. This is what we do as a church. Ultimately speaking, this is the main point. Whatever else we do around this, should be contributing to telling people about the Lord and glorifying and clarifying Jesus Christ. So, but verse 31 is our natural response. Verse 31 is a natural thought that we have after we work hard. Okay, well, are we going to eat? Do we get something back ourselves? John 4:31, Rabbi, eat something. Rabbi, you're working hard. Rabbi, you're expending energy. Rabbi, you are giving out things. Take a break now, okay, and eat. It's natural. It's normal. And Jesus Christ did eat. He lived a fully human life, okay? So he did eat. So what Christ says here is not against eating. And what Christ says here is not, you know, well, Felicia and I are laughing about that. It's not a condemnation that we wanted to eat last night. Not at all. But Christ is going to teach a lesson for us, a spiritual lesson for us that goes higher than that. So it's not against eating. It's just normal. But he would teach a lesson. This is what Christ will do at times. He would take a normal activity and apply a spiritual lesson to it. But our first thought is, you know, what do we get back? What do I receive? Where's my food? Where's my nourishment? But Christ will basically say, in different words, he will basically say, telling people the gospel and the work as the result of that gospel, he lives for that. Jesus Christ lives for that. That's his entire being. He is alive for that reason. He is functioning for that reason, and he is sustained for that reason. That should be our church as well. That we are alive for, sustained by, live for the Christian work, the work of God. He will say, I live for this. Look at John 4:32. Here it is. I have kind of food that clearly you know nothing about. Now again, he ate. I mean, the first thing he did when he came back, he made breakfast for the apostles. People ate, okay? But I have a kind of food he says you know nothing about. And they're like, what? Did someone bring in food while we were gone? The disciples asked each other, and before he teased them, and it's easy to look back and say that they were not very smart, these guys. I think we'd all be the same way. Christ is bringing new ideas that no one ever seen before, okay? He's fulfilling the Old Testament in ways no one has ever seen. So yeah, their minds are still in the wrong area. Well, I guess he ate already, and we didn't see about it. But then he goes on. Here's a teaching moment of Christ. John 4:34. Again, not against eating food, but he says, my nourishment comes from the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Amen. I love that verse. He said, I live for this now. This is what I do. And I pray that we as a church, that we can also say, we live for this Christian work. We function for this Christian work. We are all of our lives, we have other things going on for sure that are important, but at the end of the day, this is what we are defined by, our Christianity and what we do. You know, I taught this verse many times. Some people may be sick of this verse. If you've mastered this passage, praise God. I'm sorry. But if you've mastered it, praise God. I haven't yet, and I love it going through it and make sure we understand what's going on here. But I've never really declared how we transition from viewing Christianity as just one more thing we do. I work all week, and then I got to go to church and do things, okay? Christian work where it tires me out as well, Alex. How do I get to the point where it becomes a blessing? How do I get to the point where it becomes a nourishment? How do I get to the point where I can mimic what Christ is saying here and saying, I live for this, rather than it being like taking vitamins, I say, you know? It's good for me, but or going to the gym. It's good for me, but how does it transition into becoming the most important thing that we do, the best thing that we do, that we truly love doing it? And this is a hard question to answer. Probably why I haven't spoken about it yet. And I had to think about that. How do we transition from being where we are now to being where Christ is? Because this is why he said it. And I really think the answer is the same as the question, how do I love God more? How do I love God more? Because God says the most important thing of all is to love me. That's easy to say. But how do I love you more? Now, I wrote this sermon before Hope Cafe last night. And what I wrote down was theoretical. But Hope Cafe proved that it proved to be true. And I saw it to be real. And I've learned, again, that I love God more when I see God. And I see God when I obey God. When I do what he says. When you see God, you can't help but love him more and more. There's the expression, love at first sight. You know, when you see somebody special, you fall in love immediately because they're just so special to you. That's how God is way more special than that. I tell you, if you see God, truly see him, you're going to love him. You're going to fall in love with him immediately. It'll be love at first sight. You're going to be smitten by him if you actually manage to see him. But you're going to see him if you obey him. Many ways to obey God. One command is to take care of the poor. That's what we did yesterday. That's the whole point. This is why we do this, because God said so. So when you actually do it and you treat people with a level of dignity that belongs to them because they're made in God's image, when you tell them, I saw people talk to people about their problems and their issues, hugging the homeless. I saw it myself. And when you see this, you're going to see God. That's what happened. And you're going to love God more and more. And the more you love God, see, the more you love, you heard the expression, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. You don't work anymore because you're just doing what you love. This is what Christ is saying. This is not quite a burden upon him. This isn't taken away from him. This is what he loves to do. And so I pray we as a church can love God more and more, see God more and more, so that this Christian work is not a burden. It's not a taken away from us. It's not fatiguing us. Man, we are energized by this. We love doing it. We run towards that work. And I think that's how we do so. That's how we separate Christian work from our normal work. It's how we live for Christ. It's how we live for the ministry. Because it all wraps up with, how do I love God more? Just let God reveal himself. Taste and see. Do what he says. Try it and see how good he is. The greatest command of all is to love God with all your heart and soul and mind and being. Literally speaking in Hebrew, all of your oomph, all of your stuff. That's really what it means in Hebrew. There's no word for that. You love God with all of your oomph is a real Hebrew expression. Because if you love God that way, man, you're gonna love the work for God. So as we close, here's where the two meanings of working come together to help us. Working means something that works and something that works consistently. So let's keep on working for God. Hope Cafe is a rather expensive thing and a big event. I can't do that every single month. And it's very hard to find an event that involves 50 people. Okay, so I will keep doing this. Last year I began trying to have an event every month. So to keep on finding opportunities to feed the poor, but it'd probably be 10 to 12 people. Maybe there was one who was 6 people last year, but I will always try to have some kind of event going on where we serve the community and see the community. So that's going to happen every month. And if we do it consistently, you're going to see God show us his favor, which is very important to me as well. Is God happy with us? That's how we grow. Is God happy with us? The whole point is this. Loving God won't come from the work of reading the Bible one time. You can't read the Bible once and love God. Loving God won't come from the work of praying to him every now and then. Loving God won't come from the work of doing occasional ministry. Loving God, and therefore loving to work for God, comes from having a, if you will, working relationship with God. A working relationship. It works. We do things together. We hang out on a regular basis. We function. We communicate. Just like anything else that works out properly, we have that with God on a regular basis, daily. And when you work for God, you're going to see God and love him more and more. To understand what Jesus means, it will take time and consistency and faithfulness. That's what the word faithful means. Steadfast, you're there. The word religion has obviously been abused. The word religion can mean anything now. And it's, I was being told growing up that we want to have a relationship, not religion. We want to have a bond with God, not religion, you know. But the word religion originally did not mean, it was not bad, the original meaning of that word, religion. And I want to reclaim, if you will, the original meaning for this sermon. Did you know what it means originally? Cicero said, that comes from the Latin religio. And I love what it means originally. So Cicero said that what it means originally is this. It means to repeat and to read again. It means to repeat and to read again. I can't think of anything better to bless a church with. I want you to repeat your time with God and keep on reading the Bible again and again and again. That's real religion. That's what it comes down to. It means doing things on a regular basis. It also links to the ideas of having, being bound to an obligation means religious. And I don't want to add all the traditions and stuff to that word, but let's keep it. The original word reads, let's keep doing these things over and over and over again and loving God over and over and over again. So my prayer for all of us as we end this series, and I pray it was a blessing, as we springboard from yesterday and go into small groups, is to have a brand new commitment to be consistent. A brand new commitment this year for 2020 to Bible study and to prayer and to church attendance, to repeat and to read again. And wow, let me tell you how much we will love God more. Wow, let me tell you how much we will love his work more and more. The Bible says, if you believe in him and are baptized, you will be saved. Please think of these things as we stand and sing.